Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay. Today's the 24th of Cheshvan. Rosh Chodesh is a week today. Oh. And it's one day Rosh Chodesh. So that means there's only 29 days, which means that's day 30, day 23rd. Today's 23rd day of Cheshvan, which corresponds to the 12th day of November. Although it's like a little like winter has definitely arrived a little bit early. Hopefully it'll won't stick around for too much longer. I want to continue the faith, and I realized as I was thinking about it over the last few days, I think I said something. I don't know if I actually drove the point home and I was clear, so I want to, if you don't mind, just reiterate something before we can go further. And that's, I want to go back to the first Mishnah, please, in the third parak, which is Chaf Dalad, Chaf Gimel Amud Bet. So we're trying to figure out what you can and cannot do on Yom Tov, and I want to ask a question. Do you think Ochel Nefesh is a blank check? Is Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov? I now have a blank check and I can do whatever I want on Yom Tov as long as it's food related. That's my question.
No.
Is it a blank check? You're saying no, it's not a blank check.
Make it
right. Okay. So, no, careful. I don't want to talk about Machshir Ochel Nefesh. I want to talk about Ochel Nefesh.
Oh.
You follow? So, do I have a blank check on Yom Tov to do Ochel Nefesh?
Not?
You assume not. Mm-hmm. That's your assumption. Yes. Now, why are you have that assumption? You ever heard people on Yom Tov, oh, I can do that, it's for food? You ever heard that before? Okay. People say it on Shabbos too, for that matter. Oh, it's for food, it's okay. You heard that expression? It's for food, it's okay. Right? So what? So on Yom Tov, do I have this, oh, it's okay?
Well, you can't start a fire to cook.
So careful. Is that
start? Well, but it's too. You can take an existing fire.
So the truth. Josh says something which is very important, which we're all familiar with. Now, is that a derisa of the Rabbanan?
Carrot.
Okay. So, if it's a derisa. Then all of a sudden, what do we see from here?
There's no blank check.
There's no blank check. Very good. It's Rabbanan. I can so argue there's a blank check, but for whatever technical reason, we can't do it. You follow? Chacham say don't do it. So this is going to... So let's say something even easier. What about if I were to tell you that there's... Is it an objective or subjective definition of what you're allowed to do on Yom Tov or Ochel Nefesh? Meaning, is there a certain, very defined structure to it or not? So what I want to show you today is, I want to show you that, let's read that first Rashi, and you tell me what he says. Is there a blank check of what you can do on Yom Tov or not? And we've read this Rashi before, and I don't know if I really said it, but I definitely didn't drive it home. That's what I want to do now. And you'll appreciate Tosfos's question more, which can help us with our next part, where we need to get to. So let's go back to that first Rashi, please, on our Mishnah. So, Ein Tzarin Dagim, Chav Gimel, Amud Bet. So, 23b. You need a Gemara still, don't you?
Oh, there's one right there.
So, we have to get three more. You didn't get one last week?
You didn't.
Three more.
I'll get my own.
Okay, so, Blin Eder, I'll get three. You don't want one? Really? Okay, so two more. I'll get three just because somebody else is maybe not here. So here we go. Av agav deshchita vafia ubisho. So here we go. Remember what he's doing here. This is the Mishnah Ein Tzadin, right? So even though shchita shechting, afia baking, bisho cooking, ma'avos malachosein, v'utiru letzorach yom tov, ta'ama mishum di afshar mi'erev yom tov. So Rashi, I think here is telling us two very you need volume B.
Yeah.
Rashi here is telling us two very important points. One, what's he equating tzadim with?
There's another one.
What is Rashi equating tzadim with? What's Rashi equating tzadim with? Read again. Look inside. Everyone, look inside the Mishnah and Rashi, please. Again, Av ain't. So the Mishnah says ain sadin dagim yomtov. You're not allowed to trap on yomtov fish. So again, Av algav deshchita. Even though shechting and baking and cooking are avos melachon hain, votiru letzorach yomtov. After all, tama mishum di iav sharm erev yomtov because deshchita chayish lemechar bisra pen yis chames viasriach. What's the reason why you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov? Because what happens if you do it the day before Yom Tov? It will spoil. Avot Seda, Shalat Zonim on Yom. But Seda, you can do the day of. V'nechele b'mitzvud al sob b'mayim. You can capture this the day before. Leave it in the trap, swimming around. V'lo yamus. V'lo machit lu. So on Erev Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to keep it, trap it, let it swim around a little bit. And on Yom Tov itself, the next day, yank it out of the water. And it will have zero impact on your quality of food. There are two very important points that Rashi is saying here, and I don't know if we're medayik, at least focus medayik properly. So again, the Mishnah says, Ein sadin b'yom, dagin b'yom tov. Rashi tells us two very important points. One, let's go back to the question that I asked you. When Rashi says, his interpretation, I asked a question beforehand, and that is it a blank check on Ochel Nefesh? Prove it from Rashi. What does Rashi hold? Is there a blank check?
No.
You could do whatever you want on Yom Tov for Ochel Nefesh? No. What is it dependent on?
If you could have done it beforehand.
If you could have done it beforehand, which is meaning EF Shar. Now, what is the definition for Rashi of EF Shar Lasso Merv Yom Tov? What's it all about?
Spoil.
So what do we see from here? This is not Machshiri Ochel Nefesh. This is not sharpening knives. This is Ochel Nefesh. We see that when it comes to Ochel Nefesh, again, because what's he comparing Seder to? Afia, Bishul, and Shchita. So 2 points. Number one, what is Tzeda? Is Tzeda Machshiri Ochel Nefesh? Or is that Ochel Nefesh? Is trapping Ochel Nefesh or Machshiri Ochel Nefesh? What's Rashi saying?
Ochel Nefesh.
Ochel Nefesh. Prove it.
Because
it's on the same level as shechting, cooking, and baking.
That doesn't make sense.
And the second thing that's important in Rashi, is there a blank check what you can do in Yom Tov? No! It all depends on EFSHAR. What's the definition of EFSHAR according to Rashi? It's all about the quality of food. If trapping your fish on a Wednesday and eating it on a Thursday will diminish the taste, you would be allowed to trap it on Thursday. But the answer is it does diminish the taste. You trap it, it's swimming around in this net, and a day later, you on Erev Yom Tov, I'm sorry, Yom Tov itself, you pull it out and you eat it.
Drive the caribou off the edge.
Right? Right? It has no impact on my quality of food. Has no impact on quality of food. You can't do it on Yom Tov. You need to do it Erev Yom Tov. Ketzeda is an avot melachot. You can't do an av melacha. For Rashi, it's so very crystal clear. You ask a question. Is this going to diminish my quality of food? If the answer is no, it cannot be done on Yom Tov. It needed to be done on Erev Yom Tov. That is the same for Ochel Nefesh. And of course for Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. You could have sharpened your knife the day before. You didn't? Sorry, dude, you can't do it today. Okay? It is not, Ochel Nefesh is not a blank check. But here's what's interesting. It's all about quality of food. We see Yom Tov is about eating. It is about eating and enjoying the Yom Tov. It plays a very important role.
That'll be a problem for nowadays because like a lot, everything's preserved.
But no one's shechting on Yom Tov today.
Right.
Like you're not. That's you like not happening in the modern
watch
world.
Me.
Right, but in theory, by the way, you could bake on Yom Tov. Like, let's face it. We said this before. There's nothing better for you actually bake your own bread and eat it when it's done. You cannot compare the quality to have what you bought in a store a day before. You're just not comparable from a quality perspective, right? For sure, true. Right? I think I told you, right? We have, I don't even want to use the word minhag. That's the wrong word to use, minimize or minhag. But my wife, every Tisha B'Av, again, it's only real fast. You do another fast too, but Tisha B'Av especially, right? We break the fast. She times it in the bread machine. The bread machine ends when the fast ends. And this way you have literally fresh, baked bread.
That's so bad, though.
I mean, I'm not usually home last 5 minutes of the fast, right? Because it's, you know, sure. But yeah, she times it that the bread is ready when the fast ends. The worst is the bread's not ready, and it's like 10 minutes after the fast, right? It's like, oh no, it needs another 10 more minutes, and the fast is over. That's like torture, right? But truth is, it's right better to end it like 5 minutes. But whatever, you get my point. So, what?
Tosefet.
What?
Tosefet Tishavah.
Tosefet Tishavah. So, by the way, there are people who do hold Sunday 2 minutes after Tisha B'Av. You know, that's not. After Tisha B'Av, yeah. Yeah, I think Kolos probably do that. I don't know. Now, what's fascinating is that's very similar for Rashi. You ask yourself a culinary question. It's a culinary question. If what I do right now, is it impacting my food or not? If it will diminish, I can do it today in Yom Tov. If it will not diminish, I should have done it yesterday. It doesn't matter if it's machshire or it doesn't matter if it's ochel nefesh itself. I want to point out, that's for Rashi, it's super clear. How do we prove it? Because Rashi says it, and he equates seda with shechting, with cooking and baking. Seda is a not machshire, but it's mamash ochel nefesh. So according to Rashi, then what's considered ochel nefesh? If it relates to the food itself. So trapping does relate to the food because I trap the food item. Whereas machshire is going to be sharpening a knife. Sharpening a knife is not food related. Okay, now if I were to ask you a question, can you make cheese on Yom Tov? What would you tell me?
Yes.
So what question do you need to ask?
You only eat the cheese the day you make it, and you have to wait for it to like ferment.
Yeah, for sure. Cheese is like the paradigm example of not, because it's like wine. Like that specifically gets better the longer you wait.
Okay, so cheese then, if you want to tell me we don't make cheese on Yom Tov, you'll understand, because the Gemara says you can't make cheese on Yom Tov. And everyone tries to figure out why. For Rashi, it's not a problem. Why? Because what does Rashi say?
Get done beforehand.
No one makes fresh cheese is not a thing. Right? Fresh bread is a thing. Fresh cheese is not a thing. By the way, fresh wine, is that a thing?
No.
Fresh wine is like poor. It's like nabach. Right? Mm-hmm. So fresh. No one makes fresh wine. Right? Some people apparently make fresh pickles, apparently. You know what I'm talking about? It's okay. Right? But we had a jealousy of the climbers last night, and they made fresh pickles. That was mine.
How do you make pickles?
They pickled cucumbers.
Well, they pickled
cucumbers.
Yeah.
I have jealousy beers from years ago.
What?
I have jealousy beers from years ago. I don't like cucumbers. My sister made or something.
What? Beer?
Yeah, you guys didn't make an event where you made beer. Did you not?
Beer tastes like
yeah,
a
we did. Oh, yeah. Forgot.
I still have them in my basement. They're still good. They're still closed. Yeah,
nice. Right.
Those are fresh beers. Right now.
You know where you made them?
You got some moonshine.
I'll tell you, we made them.
That might go bad after that.
We made them. I made them. So you know the winery, the Kush Winery. He has a place called Press and Kettle.
Okay.
And we made them there.
Yeah. So that's
right.
So,
yeah. That's right. That was our opening event. Well, that was a long time ago, probably 6 years ago. So. The wine was gross. The beer now will be terrible.
Probably could use it for rat poison.
First of all, I hope you sold it for Pesach.
I believe so.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure you did.
I hope so.
No, break the bottles.
Yeah. So the...
Otherwise, it's the best beer now.
What was I just saying?
For
Rashi, it's not a problem. What the other Rishonim have to try and figure out is what's the problem with making cheese? Guess what they come up with? It's bona. Making cheese is like bona.
Why?
Because when you make the cheese itself, you're like building and you're. So they have to figure out what's wrong with making cheese. Now, here's what's also fascinating. Now you appreciate the Tosfot much more. Now, go to the Tosfot we did last week. Let's read it again. And you're going to appreciate what he's asking on Rashi. And then you're going to see Tosfot's definition of what's asr, what's mutter on Yom Tov. Let's go back to the first Tosfah, please. Let's read it again. So here we go. Says the first Tosfah, Ein Tzadin Dagim Eburios, Perish Rashi. Tafak of the Ochel Nefesh Mutar Hainu Tafka Kegon Bishov Afi Avishchita Adiyav Shamer V'Yom Tov Tidere Tov Paschama V'Gam Bishov B'Yom Tov V'Shchita Shem Yitzriach Aval Tzeda Efshar Letzorit Amir V'Yom Tov V'Nechen B'Mayim B'Yom Yisrov V'Leim Yisrov. Fine. Comes on Tosfah and says wrong. V'Lo Nehirin. Can Farish Perish Mechiltin Gabi Gzeir Hashem Yitlosh She'in. Okay, so should I explain this? I will explain this. There's a gzera, which is actually we're going to do it second semester, we do it with muksa. There's a gzera, you're not allowed to, if something oozes out in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to partake in that thing that oozes out in Yom Tov, because we're worried, Shema Yitlosh. Meaning, here are the concept, Mashkin Shazavu, you're not allowed to, if you have a fruit that oozed out liquid, let's use grapes for now. You're not allowed to drink those grapes if naturally, you didn't squeeze them, but they naturally oozed out, because we're worried you're going to come and go climb a tree and pluck out a grape. Now, de'in l'chalik, yeah. So Tosfot, that's the Gemara. Tosfot says, de'in l'chalik b'ochon nefesh, ben efshar l'asosim rev yom tov, b'yashar ela davka b'machshirin yesh l'chalikach. Says the Tosfot, you know why Mashkin Shazavu is a problem? He says it can't be because if there's a gzera on it, then it must mean that it's then really it's already. Hang on one second. If there's a gzera on it, it must mean that it's asur to do mina Torah. Why is it asur to do mina Torah? Because Tosfos holds that you know the only thing that you're allowed to do milisha ve'elach, kneading and onward, right in the process. So I have a question. Plucking off a apple or a grape or ktsira, right? Or harvesting your wheat, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because for Tosfot, it's only lisha. It's in the process of making the bread. It's kneading and onward. That's pre-kneading. It's way before in the baking process, right? So if that's the case, it's asur to do. It says Tosfot, why do we make a gzera? We make a gzera because since it's already asur to do, there's a gzera in order to avoid the doraisa. Okay? And for Rashi, I mean, it's not for Rashi, it's not a problem either. Why? Because Rashi holds, what do you mean? It's also asur to do. You know why? Because it doesn't enhance the fruit of the food. That's why you can't do it. But Tosfot argues and says Rashi is mistaken. Why is Rashi mistaken? Because he says, Machshir Yochel Nefesh is about Efshar and Yefshar, and that's the only criteria. Yochel Nefesh itself has nothing to do with Efshar and Yefshar, it only has to do with Lisha Ve'elach. There's a problem with Tosfot. The Gemara never says that. Never. There's no source for that, although it's quoted in many places. But there's actually no Gemara that says it. Okay? So, what I wanted to show you is that Tosfot's question, which we did last week, is saying Rashi is mistaken about Ochel Nefesh. Rashi's definition of Ochel Nefesh is that it's about quality of food. Tosfot says Ochel Nefesh is a blank check with one condition. Only Lisha Ve'elach. So if I could come up, when would there be a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos? So if I could come up with a case that it's not lisha ve'elach and it has no impact on the food, Rashi would say it's asur to do. Tosfos would say that it's in fact mutar to do.
When you're talking about like shechita or whatever, what's this concept of lisha? Or sadin dagi?
What was that?
Lisha is just kneading dough, right?
Yes.
So how does that
fit together? Very good. Then he's going to... excellent. That is going to be only the tzidur of the pot. There's no tzidur. That's the shechita on tzidur of the pot. Yeah, but tzira. So, okay. So let me. I'll tell you what I found. I found here. I wanted to read you something. Oh, so the mashkin, shezavu, we're worried that you're going to come and squeeze out the grapes, right? Okay. And he says, tlisha and schita is asur min haTorah, but v'dvar shomit kalka. Okay, good. Okay. Next, when Rashi says, Eav Shar Lasso Mir Yom Tov, what is the definition of Iyav Shar Chomer of Yontov? So Rashi has an equation. Take a look, please, on Daf 28b, Chavchet. Again, I might have...
28.
It's that second Rashi, it says Halacha. Rabbi Yehuda, Mutar Kol Ish La'asot Aval, Ein Marim L'Rabim. Can shelo yizalzulu af beshal asot mibod yom the chol hani dishrinan kegon shin kalklu be yom tov. Okay, here we go. What is the definition of? Let's say, for example, I wake up yom tov morning and I see that my knife all of a sudden is blunted, or an erev yom tov I was extremely busy, or my knife is perfectly fine, I trip, and all of a sudden my knife hits the ground, the concrete. And it deadens it, or it blunts it. Would I be allowed to sharpen my shechita knife on Yom Tov?
Yes.
So that's look at Rashi. Rashi says the sharpening could go and shenit kalkelu b'Yom Tov. It's mit kalkel b'Yom Tov. You can sharpen your knife because again, that's iafshar. Or sheya etmol tarud. Or if the day of Yom Tov you're very busy, you're running around doing tochei Shabbat or tochei Yom Tov, I guess whatever it's called, right? So the only time it's asr is if it was f sharp. But if it's ef sharp, of course it was ef sharp. So can you sharpen a knife that's already sharpened there? It's absurd. It was ef sharp. Therefore, you have to do it on yom tov itself. And here's the third definition. The third definition is hiding. This brush you have to go and actually pluck out. If you go down to the echad gerifat tanur, it's. You see where it says Shemot Yud Bet in Torah Or? In the margin?
Yeah.
Right a line above that. Ve'echad Rifat Tanur. Shenafa L'tocho Min Ti... Oh, what if you have an oven and all of a sudden your oven collapses on Yom Tov? And...
Can you rebuild it?
Can you rebuild it? So says the Gemara, Shenafa L'tocho Min Tiach Shelo Ve'lo Haya Yada Mibur Yom. You thought it was totally fine. You show up to your oven on Yom Tov wanting to bake, and your oven's messed up. You're allowed to fix it on Yom Tov. Yes, yeah, it could be. So what we see here is that we see in all these cases that EF Shar Lasot is not just quality of taste, but it's also three things by Machshirin. That's not going to put the name up, right? Machshirin Ochon Nefesh. The difference by Machshirin, by the way. We're even more lenient by machshirin. By machshirin, if you were tarud and you didn't have time for it, if it got blunted on Yom Tov, or if it you didn't know about it that your knife was blunted, or you didn't know that your oven collapsed.
If you were tarud, you can't trap fish on Yom Tov.
So it could be you'd be allowed to.
No.
You can never do. Sorry, that you're never allowed to do. Inside in, right?
Even if you were tarud the day before.
Even if you were tarud the day before. Because it doesn't affect quality.
Why were we
careful, you get it? You get it? Because Rashi holds that trapping is Ochel Nefesh. Since it's Ochel Nefesh, it's only about quality. Mm. Since there's no impact of quality. When it comes to Machshiri Ochel Nefesh, we're more lenient by Machshiri, which is very counterintuitive.
Yeah.
We're more lenient by Machshiri Ochel Nefesh than Ochel Nefesh. You follow? By Ochel Nefesh, we ask a question, excuse me, is that going to impact the quality? If so, do it. So bake. So shech. So cook. But by Machshir Yochel Nefesh, we ask additional questions. Excuse me, my knife, I just dented it now. You're allowed, it's not about the quality, but since you'd be unable, again, obviously, that's assuming you have only one knife. Obviously, if you have two knives, you're not allowed to do it. But if this is the only knife that I have and I'm absolutely stuck, I would be allowed to sharpen my knife on Yom Tov. Again, not because I knew that was the case yesterday, but because it got dented today. Or, because yesterday I just didn't know about it. My oven collapsed yesterday, I just didn't know about it. My oven collapsed today, I have no choice. Okay? So, by Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, we're even more lenient, which is counterintuitive a little bit. Okay. We said 2 weeks ago, there's another example in Halacha where we talk about Machshirei, and that is a Brit Milah. A Brit Milah. Are you allowed to do a bris on Shabbos?
Yep.
If we all know, of course. Can you do machshirei brit milah on Shabbos?
Yes. No.
Can you only have one knife? Depends. Although today we don't really use knives for shechita. You know what he is? For shechita. Oh my goodness. for premium. You know what he is?
Scalpel.
We just use scalpels, right? We just use scalpels.
Is a scalpel not considered a knife?
No. I get it. So in halacha, there's an asmo. You get it? Asmo is asmo. Asmo. Then we don't really use those anymore today. Maybe in some circles they do, but I don't know.
Oh no,
good morning. So, would you, if you only had so that one, the case is if you only had one Brit Mila knife, which is funny to call a Brit Mila knife because it's not really a knife, but it is a knife.
Scalpel is
a knife. Would you be allowed to sharpen it on Shabbos? And the other issue is, can you carry it on Shabbos?
Yes.
Right. Obviously, if there's no, would you be allowed to carry your osmo, your scalpel, from location A to location B on Shabbos? Obviously, when there's Meiruv. Right? That's the question. Those would be considered Machshire Brit Mila.
When there is an Eruv.
No, if there's an Eruv, for sure it's okay. That's the issue. If there's no Eruv, could you carry your Brit Mila scalpel?
Isn't that of a question of mukta, that's a question out of Rishu
Dura. Again, it would be mukta, I need it for a purpose. That's the purpose. Just like if I need to carry a knife to cut my steak on Shabbos, and there's an Erev, I can carry my... So the issue is, not mukta, the issue is carrying. I'd be allowed to carry my scalpel.
I feel like we talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so I highlighted it. So, are you ready? I want to read you a... There's actually an entire parak. Very easy to find. You know why it's easy to find? Because it's actually called, right. The... Of course, I went too far. Here it is. So, this chapter is the 19th chapter in Shabbos, Perek Yotet. And guess what? The characters are called after the first three words of the Mishnah. And the first three words of the Mishnah are Rabbi Eliezer Omer. That being said, everyone refers to it as Rabbi Eliezer Demila. Okay? Because this is the case. That's funny. It's actually not really the first three words. It's the first two words. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Im lo hevi kli mer Shabbos. Let's say you did not properly bring. And Rashi says, what's the kli? Not referring to like your cup holder or your becher. Right? Rashi says, Asmo. Limol to Tinok. Mevi'o b'Shabbos. Megula.
What about the straw?
Like, from Mitzitza? Like the syringe? Okay, let's hold on.
Politics out of this.
Yeah.
Politics. Okay.
Do the politics play a part?
So, u'besakana mechasehu alpi edim. Okay, so I need to explain a few things here. One, we're talking about the knife to do a bris milah. Can you carry your knife to do a bris milah on Shabbos? Again, everyone agrees that is going to be machshire milah, right? It's not bris milah itself. And what does he say? Kol, I'm quoting you from the Mishnah, and which is actually, this is actually said earlier. Oh, here. The Mishnah is unfound. Kuf Chavchet says, Kol, listen to these words, Kol Tzorche Mila Osim Shabbos. Wow. That's like a blank check. Kol Tzorche Mila Osim Shabbos. You can do it. Now, what's interesting is, I want to use this as an example to help us understand Yom Tov. There's going to be a third category, which we'll get to after. Meaning, on Shabbos, all of a sudden, just like on Yom Tov, you're not to do malacha. Oh, Ocha Nefesh. On Shabbos, you're not to do malacha. All of a sudden, oh, you can do bris mila. You follow?
Yom Tov.
What?
Yom Tov, Ocha Nefesh, on Shabbos,
bris mila. There's going to be a third category, which we'll get to afterwards, and it's going to be Chol Moed. So, but I want to show you, these parallels, because it's going to help us a lot appreciate what the halach will end up being if you're going to compare and contrast.
Bris mila on Yom Tov.
So we get, bris mila on Yom Tov.
You good?
Right, because that's like Ocha Nefesh. Oh, because Ocha Nefesh is what's needed for that day too, right? Not, as you're going to see, it's not just food. Right? By the way, can you carry on Yom Tov? According to most, not all, according to most, we shouldn't. Okay, but why? It's not ochel nefesh. Yeah, ochel nefesh isn't just nourish food. It's anything that pertains to, you know, an apple, your well-being. Right. So, okay, that's a little more complicated than that, but for now, we'll leave it there. So again, I just told you that the Mishnah says you can do any kol tzarchim like yon Shabbos. It's a blank check. So, let's go back to this Mishnah, and it says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, im lo hevi kli mer Shabbos, mevil b'Shabbos. Now, Megula, why do you have to leave it? What's your guess? Why would you have to leave it revealed? I.e., I want everyone to see that I am, in fact, carrying a asmo, a bris milah knife. Why?
So they don't believe you're actually carrying.
Because what's very important? So that no one thinks that I'm just violating Shabbos. Oh my goodness, look at the mob. Look at Rabbi Krapkin. He's carrying on Shabbos without a. Eruv. Say Mamash heretic. So now that it's clear that it's a Osmo, that it's clear that it's a scalpel for Bris Mila, I was like, oh, he's doing that because he's going to Bris Mila and he's a Moa. Right? So but what happens if he were to, you know, like to hide it? What was he carrying? What's that bulge over there? What? It's carrying, right? So we don't want people to speak that way. By the way, we see here that it's very important. Maris Ayin is a big deal. Maris Ayin is a big deal. You don't do things, right? You want it publicly. Now, but then the Mishnah says, Ubesakana, what does this mean? There's a sakana mechaseu api edim. What does that mean?
If there's a sakana that, like,
what was the order? Sakana?
Decree.
What decree referring to? If there's a decree, you're not to do bris milah. If you would be seen, if the local, so Rashi here calls these people are mayim, right? But they could be referring to the Romans, right? The Romans, when they banished, during various times, we know bris milah was banned. So they don't, if all of a sudden they were to see the Moel carry a exacto knife for the bris milah knife, right? On scalpel or an asmo on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, they'd be like, wait a second. If you have to do it publicly for Maris Ayin, then the non-Jews will be like, oh, we're going to kill you because you're going to do a circumcision. So what did they do? They covered it. So now you're walking out with like a towel over it or hidden. But again, what about the whole Maris Ayin issue? So that's why they do it al pi edim. Right? See how carefully we don't want people to be. Can you believe it? What's the default setting of people? They're suspicious. And this is a Moel. This isn't like some, you know, schlochy guy. This is, generally speaking, the Moels, the communities were like the well respected, educated ones. Right? Rabbi, not rabbi. But they were respected. Yet, why is it that they need to have aiding, need to accompany this guy? The entire time. So if anybody's there's Edim. He's not walking alone, hiding. Must be that he's doing something publicly. Oh, must be a reason why he's doing it. And then they could explain to them that the Edim could tell the Jews, don't worry, he's still keeping Shabbos, but I have to cover it up. But there's really an Asmo being placed under a cloak. Yeah, one, two.
So is the problem of Marian that you're worried that other people might look and think badly of the person, or is the problem that you're worried that other people might look
post-game,
and say it's okay?
Right. Post-game hold both.
Is that what you're going to ask?
Right, post-game, we actually are choshesh for both. We're worried that people will be... Actually, we're more worried about the second one in many cases. Either we're worried that they'll say, look at that guy, he calls himself a Torah observant Jew, and he's carrying or he's eating on kosher or whatever, and others will say, oh, it must be, this restaurant is okay to eat in. Oh, you must be, you have to carry on Shabbos.
So I would think that if the reason is the first one, then that's not really a good reason. Like, there is a sermon in the Torah about, like, judging people like that. You know, I have to go out of my way to make sure.
Was it us in the Torah about judging people?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. The question is that referring to everything? Or is that referring to judges? Is that referring to judges? Is that referring to everybody?
Everybody, I would think.
Okay, so it's homiletically used to apply to everybody in all cases.
And, and all that.
It's okay. Yeah, but you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're challenging somebody to do that.
Right. You don't put yourself in a situation that people are going to be like, the attitude of, well, they should know better.
Yeah.
Right? The attitude of, they should trust me. The attitude of...
To go right.
as opposed to responsibility.
Ooh, right? Judaism says we don't have rights to responsibilities. That's right. Sacks is the biggest problem. Yeah, that's why I read it first. I don't know. Right? But the Torah speaks not in terms of our rights, but our responsibilities. So we have a responsibility to be very careful that people won't. By the way, that's why Yom Tov Sheni, an Israeli that comes to Chutzah, Yom Tov Sheni, Maridayim, especially for educators in the community, very difficult. But they're very serious things because what are people going to say? Or people come to be lackadaisical about the halacha. Well, if some people do it, then why not? Okay, so it can't be that bad if I do it, right? After all, they're doing it. So Marit Ayin is a very serious... Rosh Shechti used to say, I heard this once, that originally... Toronto's more complicated, but maybe not. Let's talk about New York for now. Is it considered socially acceptable for Orthodox Jews to eat at a non-kosher restaurant and sit there and get a Coke? Is that, and would that be considered Marit Ayin or not?
Is it Diet Coke or is it regular
Coke? I'm not sure.
Really,
not.
Really depends right? on the place.
Okay, so the answer is in Manhattan, there's a very strong business culture in the world. It could be the first Jews who did that who violated Marit Ayin. Once it becomes acceptable, that it's acceptable that a Jew will sit at a meeting in a non-kosher, if it is. Which I think it is in downtown world, I'm not sure, but right? If it's acceptable, then Orthodox Jewish people will sit at our non-kosher restaurant and literally drink, and people will see it, and everyone will be like, oh, it's a business meeting. Everyone will realize, you know, he's walking in with a suit surrounded by, you know, or that person's in finance, and it must be, right? The first few people who did it is very problematic, and they violated Marit Ayin. Once it becomes like, okay, for example, what, can you go to McDonald's and get a coffee? This is very similar. Can you get McDonald's? So the answer is, I get this question a lot, it's a very popular question, so the answer is it depends. I wouldn't go to the McDonald's and steal some bathrooms and get a coffee.
But would you go through the drive-thru?
Right? Maybe at 2 in the morning.
Sticker onto that.
Yeah. But I would, because especially, why are you going to get a coffee? Just go to the four kosher, right? The four kosher. The four,
but
right?
The other ones.
Now, but that's also true.
All the other coffee places serve, mostly coffee places serve non-kosher food also.
Right, I agree. But everyone knows that you go to those places for coffee, right? Most people go to Second Cup or Starbucks.
No, McDonald's.
Not for the sandwich.
Double cheeseburger. Right.
Exactly. McDonald's. Is, now, listen, if you tell me.
If you saw a claim sticker in the McDonald's drive-thru, what would your assumption be?
Okay, so if you want to tell me that it is now socially acceptable that everyone does it, everybody goes to McDonald's for coffee.
Either going for coffee or the dollar drink.
You know, there was a time there was a. Right, a dollar drink. No, a dollar drink. So I hear that. If you really tell me that it is socially acceptable that now, on the other hand, if you're taking the thruway, you're driving to New York, and you want to stop and get gas, and you want to get a coffee, that everyone realizes, right? If there's no Marit Ayin there, because A, no one's going to recognize you. B, it is much more socially acceptable when you're driving long distances for coffee, whatever's on the thruway, as opposed to go get, right? So no one's going to say, oh, look at Greenberg, he's eating at McDonald's. It's very obvious that it's on the thruway. You're getting a coffee because you need a coffee. He's driving to New York, he doesn't be seen, right?
I think I've been on a group trip and the bus stopped at McDonald's.
Yeah, you see that. That's pretty
common.
That's pretty common, right? On trips to that.
But they keep making us eat McDonald's.
So, right. I don't think people are like posting pictures of the Jewish organization say, look what our bus took us to McDonald's. Right? B'nai Akiva, NCSY, takes to McDonald's.
I'm sure someone has done
that. Right, it could be. But again, I don't think that. So what in our case, what we're trying to say is that we're so careful that when the guy walks in public with a shechitah, what is wrong with me? With a bris milah knife, with an asma, a scalpel, it needs, if you can't do it, that it's clear to everyone what you're doing, then it needs to be concealed, but you need to have aid in there so that people won't jump to conclusions. There's Aiden to validate what you're doing it, who you are, and what you're doing, and why you're doing it.
They have to be with or what?
Yeah. Shia idu sha'azmo sha mitzvahu mevi. They'll testify that he's bringing an azmo sha mitzvah. The lo yachshiduhu, and they won't be suspicious. We start with the right next to the guy, no?
One last question about Marianne, I guess. Well, why do we not apply this principle of, you know, if everyone knows that it's like a thing that people do, then it's more okay to Israelis that are, you know, keeping on to it. Like, everyone knows that, you know.
Right, it's an excellent question. I mean, it's a little bit off topic, but the answer is also, will it lead to a sense of zilzal of Yom Tov Sheni?
Would it be okay if they wore sandals?
Probably. Never.
At least you're not the fashion
plate. Okay, anyways. There are those who disagree with what I just said, and that Shlichim do whatever they want in Yom Tov Sheni. I don't see how they do it. And there's a taz that allows it. That, but I don't think the taz understood shlichim. And understood how valuable shlichim are in our valuable, and they're part of the community. So if they're not, you know, most shlichim on Yom Tov Sheni, you should go to shul. Meaning, if you need to, put tefillin on at home. No one knows. It's the same davening, right?
Like they're shlichim, and everybody knows they're shlichim. So people are like, oh yeah.
Really? You a 9-year-old kid really understands those things? Anyways, what?
Just wires.
Kick again.
About this year.
Yeah.
It was a big discussion for me, like about
what to do with Yom Tov Sheni.
Yeah, leave it to the side. We went in New York in Yom Tov Sheni in Manhattan, and we keep like we dress like Shabbos and the second day in Shavuot. Right. In Simchat Torah, we walk in Central Park, and then a guy started like have a camera, started to like to take a picture. Like, okay, and I said only look at him like to see what exactly he said. And then he said Chag Sameach in Hebrew, like, without a kippah, nothing. Said he. Well, then he said, well, it seemed like it was a Shabbos call. He said, hey, don't worry, I'm Israeli. I don't keep touch. Give me an idea to that zilut. Like, okay.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
Wow.
What is the lesson? I don't know.
Anyways, okay. That's not our... Right. Interesting. Okay, let's go on. That's funny. That's a great story. It's a good story. Not this story. Okay. It's a great story. All right, let's continue this Mishnah. Okay, ready for this? Rabbi Eliezer says, are you ready? Kortim Eitzim. You're allowed to come. Take a hammer. Not a hammer. An axe. Hammer. And what could you do on Shabbos? Are you ready? All right, ready for this? Are you ready? Kortim Eitzim. Lasot Pechamim. Lasot Kli Barzel. You could even take an axe on Shabbos, cut down the tree in order that you have wood, in order so that you can have a fire
to make metal.
For a
Brit Mila.
Wow.
I didn't just stop at like heating water for like Brit
Mila. Right.
That's really far.
Yeah,
it's true. Like, at that point, it's like you could have just done all that.
Now, comes on Rabbi Akiva and says, no way! Kol malacha. Are you ready for this language? She'efshar la sota mi'erev Shabbos? Eino dochet ha-Shabbat. Mila. She'efshar la sota mi'erev Shabbos? Dochet ha-Shabbos. Now, can you do Mila on Erev Shabbos? What's the answer? Can you do Mila on Erev Shabbos? Why not? Oh, very good. How come, if you do Mila on the seventh day, have you done anything?
Yes. You heard a baby.
Oh. Okay,
probably
true.
Probably 5 days in
a right, okay. So, what we see from here is taking, I'm doing a Bris Mila on Erev Shabbos. Let me phrase. If the eighth day is Shabbos, can you get a better EF Shar than that? Right? Like, when you say EF Shar Lasso Erev Shabbos, that's the best EF Shar possible, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? Like, you can't get a better Yav Shar Lasso than Erev Shabbos. Now, the Gemara learns from here that it says, Uba Yom HaShmini, we need a bris on Yom HaShmini. Can you do a bris on Yom HaShvi'i? No! So when we say Yav Shar Lasso than Erev Shabbos, that Yav Shar is not like, compared to Yom Tov, that's like good taste, but no, this is a very, very, very objective type of definition. Day 7, you cannot do a bris. That is the quote unquote best EF shor you can get. Comes to Yom HaShmini, the Torah says Yom HaShmini mor b'so l'mato, Yom HaShmini even Shabbos. So since day 7 is EF shor, and by the way, so what's Rashi saying? By the way, you follow? Rashi says, my EF shor is the same EF shor that we have by bris I have on Yom Tov. Think about it. Mm. On Yom Tov, it's all about EF shor lasot me'erev Shabbos. Is it EF shor lasot the bris milah on Erev Shabbos? The bris milah itself. We ask the question of EF shor. You follow? I'm also going to ask the question of Ochel Nefesh. EF shor lasot me'erev Yom Tov, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Something which is EF shor lasot me'erev Yom Tov, Esher Lasot Me'erev Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos. You can't do it on Yom Tov. So what I want to show you is that I think Rashi, the concept of why Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov is allowed to be done by Rashi is only if it's Ochel Nefesh, but if it was Esher Lasot Me'erev Yom Tov, if it was, then you can't do it. Even Ochel Nefesh. So again, the bris milah, it's all about, can you do the bris milah? The bris milah, I have a blank check, Yom HaShmini. We still ask a question, Efshar Uefshar, or Efshar. Since it's Efshar Lasot, I can do it today. So too Rashi says, Yom Tov, Ochel Nefesh, but if it was Efshar Lasot, I need to do it on the day before Yom Tov. But since cooking and baking is Efshar Lasot, I can do it today. So Rashi's definition of Efshar and Efshar when it comes to cooking and food preparation is the same question we ask for Bris Milah. I realize Bris Milah, it's a much more objective definition. Yom HaShvi is Gornished, right? But we still ask that same definition of Efshar and Efshar. We ask it by Bris Milah. I ask it by Ochel Nefesh. A little complicated? I'll repeat it again if I need to. Yeah.
I mean, very nice that you can't actually do the Bris Milah until Shabbos, but you can definitely cut the tree.
That's what Akiva argues.
No, but you argue the knife.
Rabbi Akiva says, since, again, here's a case. You wake up Shabbos morning, Moel, you're going to bring the Asmo to the Bris Milah. Oh my goodness. I don't have one. I have to make one.
What were you doing yesterday?
Yeah, sure. Let's say again, maybe he was talking. So that's an interesting question. If he would be what? According to Rabbi Elazar, it could be if you have no choice, you're allowed to make it. Rabbi Akiva says only
the bris itself.
No, because caring would be allowed to do.
Or is it draw the line for the bris?
Right. So again, it could be if he wakes up. Maybe. So do we use the same line of Tarud? Use the same line of. The day of, right? Of what? Of it gets broken. Was that language in
Yom Tov?
Nikokel. Okay, so it's a good question. What happens if? By the way, what happens if your Asmo gets Nikokel on Shabbos? You sharpen it. Right, right. Yeah, today you probably. I mean, that's probably what happens today, right? Can you buy a scalpel?
Local. I mean, you could buy like a shaver. That's like the same.
Straight edge.
Yeah. I don't know. Can you buy those things at your local Shabbos Drug Mart?
You might be able to.
Scalpels that you use for Bris Milah. I don't. To
Walmart says it's
what?
Scalpels for Bris Milah.
But you'd be able to buy on Shabbos. Let's say if you were tired. You have
it on Amazon.
Ask them. Yeah. Do Bris Milah and Yom HaShmini? Because you can, yeah.
I mean, you can even do it after that.
I mean, again, you receive your right to do it. If you have no choice. Again, carrying. Think about it. By the way, can you carry a baby without a... Something has to be carried. Either the baby moves or the scalpel moves. I mean, unless it's... Ideally, oh, yeah, okay. So be careful. We're very shul fixated, but that's not where most Bris Milah is used to take place, right? They're placed at his mother's house. Now we do it in a shul, but that's not the way they used to be, right? Obviously, right? So what they used to do. So again, everyone agrees. Ideally, you should have, on Erev Shabbos, bring the Osmol over and leave it at the baby's house. Everyone agrees that's what you should do. But what happens if you didn't do it? Right? You couldn't do it. Efshar. Why was it Efshar? I don't know. Circumstances. So it could be you'd be allowed to do it. Right? So yeah.
How do we decide that the mitzvah of Brit Milah is more like we care more about it than the mitzvah of Shabbos?
Because so that's the Gemara. You asked a question. The Gemara makes a limud. Yom Hashmini. Filu Shabbos. Is that this stuff or is it the next stuff? Good question. Yeah, it's not this stuff. It's where's that?
Where's that? Gemara's funny, guys.
Where's that limud? Where's that limud? Here. Av Machshirei. Shtei Halachem.
What was the Torah supposed to say?
Yom Tshuva Yalachem. By the way, the Gemara tries to say Yom Tshuva Yalachem. B'yom HaShabbos. Afilu Shabbos.
Laila. No. Kol Yami. Kol Yamei.
Ma'atzav lo Machshirei ma'atzav doche et HaShabbos. It's right here. Lulav kol machshir doch in the Shabbos. He disagrees. B'yom. Oh, here. Ready? Rabbi Elazar Omer dekra. U'bayom hashmini. Yimo b'sar lato afilu b'shabbat. V'lichtu rachmana b'mila. V'lito hanach. V'lig mor mine. Mishun d'igla mefrechit b'mila. Shigen nichred alem shashar b'sar b'tog. So, yeah. U'bayom hashmini. We learn from the Gemara says, yom hashmini. Here.
Coolio.
Mila v'chomach shreha dochin to Shabbos Div Rabbi Elazar. Minalei, how does he know? Hi, demikulo gemar kedamrina. V'od ma shekin im avar zmana bitla. That if you, so let me just say, do the press on Sunday, which is Yom Hachi. Ela hainu time of Rabbi Elazar, what does he hold? Amar krav b'yom hashmini imo b'zar lato. Afilu b'shabbat. So even on Shabbos, we see that you're allowed to do, what's it called? Allowed to do brit mila. So you write that. So ask the question? Right, that's the... But you're, by the way, what would we assume?
Do it on the ninth day.
Do it on the ninth day, push it off. Right, no. So that would say do the ninth day. Why don't you say do it at all? Do it with the deal. By the way, okay, if the baby's sick, what do you do? You push it off. Okay, so Shabbos is... Yeah, you can't do it on Shabbos because it's the Kiddush of Shabbos. So you do that, what's the big deal? The answer is no. What?
When you push it off, can you do it on Shabbos? Or
no, okay, so Nadav asked a great question. What happens if the baby on the eighth day was Friday and the baby was unhealthy and you want to do the ninth day? No. So that you're not allowed to. It's only Yom HaShmini. If the baby's healthy and it's already past the eighth day, we say wait until... After Shabbos. Yes, that's a very good point. But that's also true. Very good. Josh also says if the baby is born by Nishmasho, so we only do Yom HaShmini if it's Vada Yom HaShmini. Safek Yom Safek Lot. Actually, my cousin had this issue. He was born in the summer, and he was born. Question is, Ben Nishmasho, it's very complicated. There's like Ben Nishmasho at 4 minutes, 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 72 minutes. Like, what's Ben Nishmasho? Like, Joel Rabbeinu Tam? Like, on a Friday night. If your baby is born, there's a big knock on the halacha because this shows if you hold a bina tam is it a chumrah, is it a kara din? If you do you really wait Friday night, a baby is born 60 minutes after shkia. If you hold a bina tam, it's not 72. You mean to tell me you're going to push off bris mila till Sunday, or is a bina tam a chumrah? And if the baby is born, what about the baby is born? So we hold the general practice in, well, Moshul's in Toronto hold 45 minutes after Shkia is when Shabbos ends. So if the baby is born 40 minutes after Shkia, maybe Safim from Savaglada push off the Sunday. Or is that only the Chumra of Shabbos wait 45 minutes? Really, it's... As a rabbi said, repeat Shema, don't repeat Shema. Right? So all these things are... We have to know what do we really hold is Tzitzis Kochavim. Not Chumra. I understand Shabbos beginning, Shabbos ending, be machmir and wait longer. I get that, but there's a big nafka. So a chumrah of one thing is a kula in another. Right? If you really hold Rabbeinu Tam, so it's wonderful when it comes to Motei Shabbos, you're nice and firm. But when it comes, then you're going to push off a bris milah until Sunday. You're mevatel and asay.
So most
people, it's not so simple. So that's why
most people that hold Rabbeinu Tam is it
no, it's a mechumrah. Yeah. Meaning they're not going to hold that for Friday night. But, well, Friday night would be different. You discover Shkia. Yes. By the way, it's also a big nachman for davening. I can daven until Tzitzis B'Chavim. I can make daven mincha stuff. Right? So whatever usually in halacha, there's a chum in one area usually makes it cool in another area. So. Okay, it's 2 minutes to 11, so I'm going to stop. I will review that.
Thank you for the genetic.